every department. Guitar Center's Labor Day Preview Savings Event, now through Sunday.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's new, it's interactive, and it's free. It's Dog Pound Drive, the Cleveland Browns free fan pregame experience. Don't miss music, food trucks, a Browns beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium on Alfred Lerner Way, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the debut, which will be Saturday's Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns Rams. And it'll start at 5 and go to 8 p.m. kickoff. 5 to 8 p.m. is Dog Pound Drive. All right, Vic and Nathan with you today on a Football Thursday. Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford. Good visit there with Jim Corbett at USA Today, reflective of the continued national attention that this team gets. He's sticking through game time on Saturday. He hasn't been as many camp practices as we have, but he's been to quite a few. So you wonder, I just think, Nathan, that how the narrative goes from here with this Browns team, because the disappointment for those who looked at Johnny Manziel as their ratings grabber, ratings booster, how do they see it now? Because it's a business to folks. They're not looking at this thing I'm saying folks who are, from a media standpoint, the bosses of the people like Jim Corbett, it's a bottom line mentality.
And so you're saying it's gonna hurt the interest in the Browns as long as he's on the sideline?
I'm saying on a national scale, I think it's gonna get tamped down a bit.
Oh, a lot. It's gonna go away. I think 80% of what was going on with the Browns is gonna go away unless they come out and beat the Steelers on the road week 1. I think that would be the one thing that could really be a narrative changer, or if they can find a way to be, 2-1 after 3 games, then people will start to take them seriously. Because if you go 2-1 against Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Baltimore, you got to say, oh my goodness, Mike Pettine's defense is legit. This team is playing well. That's what the story would be. Now, if they go 0-3, that whole bye week is going to be a barrage of bring in Johnny Manziel.
No question about it. That's all it will be. It's all it will be.
Unfortunately,
lived through that here before with other people, and it'll be worse this time.
In fact, there are now odds available to those who would be inclined to do such things on whether or not Johnny Manziel will start week 5 against the Tennessee Titans. Those are odds that are out there at Sportsbook, and right now it is 59%, the way that the odds are lined up. It's 59% that he is not going to start. It's -175, which means you'd have to lay $175 to win $100 for those of us who aren't gamblers, per se.
Right. That's
what the odds are on no. Yes is a +125 underdog, which means they think it's about a 41% chance that it will happen.
Interesting. I fear for that, because if it does go down that road, if it goes down the road where things are so bad early on that this team feels the need to, and if it's so bad early on, change is inevitable. And it isn't because of who's here as your backup. It's because anybody else but the starter is who everybody wants. In this case, it'll be exacerbated by the fact that that guy is Johnny Manziel. But, again, we've seen this before. There's love for the other quarterback when the first guy isn't doing the job. There was love to get anybody other than Brandon Whedon in here before, not very long ago. So it falls along the same lines of that. But my concern is, and again, I don't want to worry about something before we have to worry about it, but because you brought up this sport of figuring out when Johnny Manziel is going to play and the guesstimations with that, it's a season that could go, in my mind, from bad to worse with a quarterback whose assignment right now is to not see the field in practice, the starting unit in practice, watching more than participating, certainly not getting any of the reps that would have him prepared fully to be one heartbeat away or one snap away. And part of his role is to help the defense out in practice. I mean, that's what backup quarterbacks do. So he would not be in a position to do much of anything for a guy who needs a lot of learning and developing to do. You're out of developing learning mode. You're out of training camp mode.
You are, and that's the challenge, right? But if everything that we are – now, Mike Freeman says that players have told him that he doesn't – that the playbook really isn't the issue with Johnny Manziel. Now, I don't believe that from talking to some players on my own here. They've said that that certainly does remain a very big issue.
What's
with
he saying?
Johnny.
It's the whole it's the personality thing. It's the...
I don't know what his agenda. He just was saying that to say that it's because of the playbook was not correct. But from what I've been told, I think that's a lot of it. Chris Cooley even said, I don't know if you saw this from the Sunday night conversation when Johnny sent the play out to Gruden when he gave that play. Chris Cooley's like, that wasn't a play. And Chris Cooley's played in the offense.
It certainly sounded like he was struggling to get recite it out. Whatever
one
he
play.
Was saying, which is consistent with everything I've heard and have talked about with this coaching staff since off-season workouts, that it was painful for him to make play calls, just that alone in the huddle. And you didn't even have to know that to see it watching practice, the amount of time it took. And if you were just had a clock in your head, how tough that was going to be on the play clock itself. He had some issues Monday night for sure with the communication system. That happens all the time. But guess what? Quarterbacks who are more evolved in understanding an offense can get over that. They can go to another – they can go to a default setting or something else. In Johnny's case, he has to be force-fed everything because he doesn't know what he doesn't know when it comes to the playbook. So is that true with every rookie? Probably more rookies than not. But I think – what you knew when you went down the road of taking Johnny Manziel was you were getting the least ready quarterback probably from this crop versus your guy, Teddy Bridgewater, who would probably be arguably the most ready from a mental standpoint.
And that's why ultimately the evaluation that is going to be on Johnny Manziel versus the other quarterbacks in this draft class will come, you know, 18 months, 2 to 3 years down the road when you see what he can become. Because if you look at – if Johnny Manziel can get mentally where a guy like Theodore is – he has more physical gifts than Theodore. So it's going to take time. And I think it was an adjustment. And I'll go back to saying this because I 100% believe this. And from talking to some people, it's pretty much the sense I got. If the goal was to bring Johnny Manziel in here and literally, truly have him start from day one, he would have gotten every rep from the first day of training camp. They would have built a dumbed-down offense in terms of the verbiage and what he was going to be asked to do around him that would have been ready to go for week one, like they did in Carolina for Cam Newton, like Kyle Shanahan did in Washington for RG3. That was never the case here. They never did that with him, and I don't know if it was because of what he did in the offseason that led them to that conclusion, but I don't think it mattered, to be perfectly honest. Right. I think this way, they had a guy here in Brian Hoyer who had started and won a couple of games that Mike Pettine we know liked, that they wanted to give the chance to win the job to. And so they put them on an even field. And if you wanted Johnny to start, you weren't going to put him through that level of an offense. It just wouldn't have the adjustment period. And with the way that the CBA is structured now, the time was not there. And it's not making excuses for him because he still had every opportunity to do the work and to be successful on the field and see the reads, because he had a couple of reads in his first two series against Washington that had he seen, he throws two touchdowns on his first two drives, and all of a sudden you're saying he is starting week one.
And I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I think that approach speaks volumes about the philosophy of this head coach. It's a defensive-oriented approach, and the only way that works for a defensive-oriented guy is to have an offense, and when it comes to planning your offense, is to have one that is going to be complementary. The offense that you would have to say, the dumbed down, limited version, and all the other elements of this Johnny Manziel read option, pistol, shotgun thing, did not play into the complement of the defense. And he wanted, Mike Pettine said, we're going to run it well, and we have to have a quarterback who can at least minimize mistakes. And he had every reason to think that that guy was Brian Hoyer. I think he still has every reason to think that that guy is Brian Hoyer. What Brian Hoyer has maybe done to hurt himself is dilute the faith, or at least maybe discourage anyone from thinking that he's a playmaker. And he certainly hasn't shown enough of that to convince people that that's promising going forward. But for the head coach who wanted efficiency, he's that.
He is that, and hopefully he can now settle down. And you've seen it today. You've really seen him settle down. Saw it in practice yesterday, certainly going back. I think that he needed this. The team needed it. Everything just calmed down and started to be named, and that's what they're going to do. We're going to take our top-of-the-hour break here. Do we still have Will in Brook Park? He's been holding forever. We might as well get him in here. Will, what's up, bro?
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me on here.
You got it.
Vic, Pleasure meeting you last night. It's good to see the Dog Bowl. If you remember, I was there from the Fan Advisory Board. It was a good time.
Okay, yeah, and thanks for calling. I'm sorry we made you wait so long, but it was a pleasure to meet you guys as well. That Fan Advisory Board, Will, is that for real? I mean, do you feel you guys are able – are you heard? Are you able to bring some tangible thoughts to the table that the Browns are listening to? And I'm asking you this because I don't know. I'm just flat out asking. How's that going?
Oh, no, we really are. It's a great thing. Kevin Griffin and Rachel and Megan Rock, of course, they really take it seriously. I love Kevin's intensity. And, they ask real pointed questions. And, all of us in there are season ticket holders. And not only that, we're also season ticket holders that actually attend the games. As you notice, there's a lot of fans that tend to sell their tickets. But, we do attend the games, so we're there. We have valuable input. We go to training camp. Mm-hmm. And, they ask all kinds of questions. What they're looking to do is enhance the game day experience, and they're focusing right now on how can we get the fans to the game before the game starts, sort of like what Seattle does, where it's a rabid atmosphere before there's even a kickoff.
Right.
And we'd like to get those fans out. And a lot of fans are there. It's not like they're not, but we want to get even more to the game.
So what are some of the suggestions? What are ways that you guys tell the team that can get the fans there earlier?
Well, a lot of the fans, everybody seems to want to have a happy hour type thing where we discounted food or beverages, and they're open to that. And Kevin has said that no one in the NFL has been able to do that yet, but they've tried and they will try. And Taylor was talking about maybe giving us discounts that would be available on an app, where if you get to the phone, if you get to the game before 12:45, you would have a coupon for discounts. Now, you talked about that party on Alfred Lerner Way. I think that's the start of it right there, because there's going to be discounted beer and food and a party right outside the stadium before the game. Right. That's a good start right there.
Cool.
So we talked about all kinds of stuff, training camp review. We've got season ticket benefit cards now where you'll swipe every time you make a purchase and you'll be eligible for prizes and game day experiences.
Right.
So we are heard, and they take it seriously.
That sounds good. What's you had a football thought or question.
Yes, I sure did. I talked about an area of concern, I'm looking at the wide receiver spot because no matter which quarterback is in there, I really feel like the Josh Gordon thing may affect this team more than any other decision they make. So who's going to step up outside of you've got Austin, Hawkins, Benjamin, Cameron, those type of guys, but all of them have had histories of injuries. I'm looking at guys who can catch and run after the catch, and Taylor Gabriel and Charles Johnson are two young guys that we've seen do that early on. So I'm really looking at guys like that and who's going to step up and maybe be able to fill that role.
Yeah, I think that they have some promise, certainly on the younger side of things, Taylor Gabriel, Charles Johnson. I think the veterans have been somewhat disappointing in that Anthony Armstrong has struggled lately. I think we haven't seen Nate Burleson. We haven't gotten to see what he can do. Which has been, I think, disappointing to a lot of people, and hopefully he'll be able to get out there. He is battling that hamstring injury, and he can get out there Saturday and show what he can do. Because this is a guy who was averaging 6 catches, 79 yards a game, and actually was the leading receiver for Detroit over the first 4 weeks of the season before getting hurt last year. I think that you also have to remember there are going to be a lot of teams cutting a lot of players when guys go down to 53, and I think you could see some new receivers come in here because this is a team right now that the current wide receiver group, I would say, is not getting the job done, Vic.
I don't think the current wide receiver group is remotely close to getting the job done. I'm very concerned about it. I can see a remake going on at the position as we get into the cuts beginning after this third preseason game. I could see as many as 2 and maybe even more new faces rotating into this group because it's huge in terms of what this team needs there for help, and I don't know where it's going to come from right now beyond Gordon, and I think we're beyond Gordon. I mean, we always use that. We have to have that disclaimer about Josh Gordon's presence, but we don't know what else to say. Jim Corbett was on here from USA Today indicating that maybe Friday would be a day of decision because that's how the league tends to handle these suspensions. But we will see. All right, we've got much more coming up for you again on this Football Thursday edition of CBD. He's Nathan. I'm Vic. Want more of your calls and more of your tweets? At 2:15, we'll play a little Fact or Fiction. 216-578-0850, by the way. We've got sound from the quarterbacks. We'll hear a little bit from that, from Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel talking with the media yesterday. So we'll get some clips from that. The head coach of the team, Mike Pettine, will get some sound from his press conference as well from yesterday. So we got a lot to hash out and hash through. Stick around. ESPN 850 WKR.
The Browns play here. Your radio home for Cleveland Browns football is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland. The Browns are on ESPN 850, WKNR, Cleveland. ESPN Cleveland Sports Center.
It's 2:12. I'm Matt Fontan, and the Browns settling into life with Brian Hoyer as their starter. Second practice for Hoyer as the official starter today. A long quarterback battle was rumored to weigh a little bit on Hoyer, but for him, he's just moving forward.
For me, it's excitement, and, you know, this is what I worked for a whole year to get back to, and obviously, it's good to move forward and move on with the decision being made and just get back to work, get ready for St. Louis. So.
Brownies on the practice field as we speak. Practice actually forced inside due to some bad weather. Browns gearing up for their first home game of the season on Saturday. They take on the Rams. We'll get you set with the Mike Pettine Show. That's tonight starting at 7 right here on your home for the Browns, ESPN 850 WKNR. To baseball, Indians going for the sweep. First, the Twins in action in Minnesota. No score as we are in the top of the fourth inning. Corey Kluber on the hill. He already has three strikeouts through three innings of work. To golf, first event of the FedEx playoffs going on, the Barclays. Rory McIlroy with a horrid start. He shot a 3 over 74. The leaders, Hunter Mahan, Charles Howell III, and Cameron Tringali are all at 5 under. Phil Mickelson off the course. He already shot even par 71. Back to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.